Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks. Molly and Kim.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the AmeriChick Show. Molly and Kim. But Kim is out today. Sitting in with us, we have a guest chick, Susan Koshevar. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being here. We are on Monday to Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. KDMT for that drive home that we know can be a little challenging if you're in Colorado. If you're listening from another part of the country, don't worry about it. Your traffic's probably fine, unless you're in California.
Yeah.
But anyway, you can listen to us on the radio, but also you could go to our website, AmeriChicks.com, or download the KDMT app on your phone and do that as well. Follow us at AmeriChicks at Twitter and Facebook. And, you know, Susan, the only sure thing in life, it seems, is death and taxes, right?
It's true.
So today we're going to talk about the latter, because I think it's, you know, timely,
yes.
Right? You've got President Trump right now is in Pennsylvania. He's pitching the tax plan that's going to hopefully help the little guy and gal like you and me, like our friends, not the politically connected, not the political elite, the bureaucrats, the people that carve themselves out away from the rules, but us that actually work hard, really, really hard every single day to make a dollar, to save a dollar, to take care of our families. That's what we're talking about.
Yep,
right?
That's right.
So we are going to talk about President Trump's tax plan today, and we are going to be talking with Susan Koshevar, who's a small business owner, and then also with Elaine Parker. She's the president of Job Creators Network. They had a big event September 15th out in D.C. called Tax Cuts Now. It was a big rally, and they do a lot just, research and sharing and talking to people about why we need certain tax cuts and what type of tax cuts and who is it going to help, because, you know, it really takes money to create jobs and to create wealth.
Absolutely. The business owner is the person who gets paid last after all the expenses and the employees are paid.
Mm-hmm. So we've got to make sure that it's possible to actually create jobs. So we're going to get to that in the second segment. But right now, I want to talk about something else, the importance of a career and the importance of a career path. I don't know about you, Susan, but I started out and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this when I grow up. And then I'm going to be an attorney. I'm going to be communications. I even thought about doing radio, interned at a radio station, said, no, I don't want to do that. Tried to do sales and said, I definitely don't want to do sales. Finally led my way into the financial industry, which I did for 17 years. And then all of a sudden, when I figured out what the government policies were doing that were affecting people's finances, I'm talking about the middle and lower income levels. Those are the people I want to help. I'm like, I got to get into radio. I've got to tell as many people as possible what the government's doing. How is it going to affect them so they can prepare themselves, right?
Right.
But, you know, I didn't start out number one saying, here's what I want to do for a career. Imagine if we had started at the get-go. So we have in studio with us somebody who has decided very early already what he wants to do with his career. And I think this may save him millions of dollars in the future because he's deciding early, which means that he can get on a track right now, start to set goals. He'll know exactly what kind of schooling or training or certifications or whatever it is he needs to do, what kind of skills he needs so he can do that in the future. So I'm going to invite him on right now. Camden Martinez with... Welcome to the AmeriChick Show.
Hello.
Thanks for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. So tell us a little bit about you. What grade are you in? What school are you going to? And about this project.
So I'm in ninth grade at Wheat Ridge High School. And for my English class, we had to shadow a person that we'd like to go into the career path that we'd like to go in, that they're already in.
Mm-hmm. And so what is the career of your choice?
I'd like to do sports broadcasting.
Awesome. That's a fast-paced broadcasting. You're going to do do you want to talk on the news in between about what happened, or do you want to do play-by-play stuff?
I want to be on ESPN, so talk about highlights and news and stuff.
Awesome. And so what excites you about that? How did you decide to do that?
I just like sports as it is, most sports. And the fast pace of them and talking about them.
Mm-hmm. And then which sport particularly is your favorite, Camden?
I like basketball the most.
that's a pretty fast pace. You got to be in good shape, right?
Yeah.
Do you play basketball?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, good. What position?
I play a shooting guard right now.
All right. All right. And so you said that that's what you want to do is broadcasting. Now, you were on a different radio show earlier this morning. You were watching one. Is that correct?
Yes.
Which one was that?
I was on Mark Mosier's show on Altitude Sports.
Yep. The Voice of the Avalanche, 9:50 a.m. And so what was that like? Was it what you thought it would be?
Yeah. It was a lot of people yelling about stats and the sports that they're into and stuff.
A lot of people yelling about stats.
Yeah.
I think it's exciting. What do you think about sports radio?
It's exciting. It's very fast paced. You really have to pay attention to what's going on every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like it. Well, so Camden, so you're in the ninth grade. This is your English class. You're at Wheat Ridge. Now that you have been on Mark Mosier's show, you were able to watch that. You're here today. What do you think? You think that this is still something you want to do?
Yeah, it sounds like fun working in a radio station and kind of just meeting new people and doing new things.
Awesome. So what's next? What do you think would be next? You going to do some internships? You're going to start doing some things with some radio shows or TV?
Yeah, I should probably start looking into internships and things like that. So.
Okay, cool. Last question, Camden. What's your favorite subject in school?
My favorite subject is probably PE because it has to do with sports and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Is there any sport that isn't your favorite?
Probably tennis.
Okay. Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. And that was mine. Tennis. Yeah. Well, I loved tennis.
You like tennis.
You know, love means nothing in tennis.
I could never hit the ball. So it went over under the rack. So not my game.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Camden, for being here. We appreciate it.
Yep.
We want to share stories like this because we really think that it's important for people to start deciding early on, what do you want to do? You know, there's been so much pushed, like go to college and do the 4-year degree and then figure out what you want to do. And a lot of people go on to higher degrees and things like that and then come out and go, gosh, I didn't want to do that. And then they've got student loans here mm-hmm. to here to there. So we've had CITC on, the Construction Industry Training Council, mm-hmm. where they're doing apprenticeships.
Oh, that's awesome.
In, you know, things like that. So out of school, you're instead of in college is still great. Don't get me wrong. If you know that your career requires college and you're going to make as much as you're going to spend plus so you can pay back your loans, do that. But otherwise, go intern and figure out what you want
to
do.
Yeah, you have to look at your return of investment there and make sure that it's going to be there at the end. I know I went through college and I didn't wind up where I thought I would. And I think that happens to a lot of people. I took a lot of internships when I was in college, which I really encourage you to do and to look into the different careers. Wound up running the family business.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the Americhicks. Molly and Susan is sitting in for Kim today. Susan, you are an entrepreneur. Right now, you own the historic 88 Drive-In Movie Theater.
Yep.
But what did you think you wanted to do in the beginning?
I thought I wanted to be a TV newscaster.
Oh.
Yeah. So I went through the University of Denver and studied communications, and I did a whole lot of, I think I did more internships than anybody. I think I did like 10 of them, and one of them was on TV, and then one was in radio, and I loved the radio. The radio news was just really, those guys really cared, and I thought they really did a great job. And then I went back to the family business, and now I'm kind of back to radio off and on, so it's interesting.
Yeah, well, we love you here. So since you own a drive-in movie theater, what would you say to that guy or gal out there that says that's what they want to do when they grow up? I want to own a theater, any kind. What would you say?
Wow. Owning your own business these days is really tough. It's very tough to even purchase a drive-in at this point. You know, you have to get the land, and the land values are so high. And then getting something like that through your local city council to be able to even build it is very difficult. So, you know, you're going to have to start studying up on buying businesses and getting things through city councils. It's tough.
Yeah. Well, and we're going to talk a little bit about that earlier or later in the show, because we're going to talk about, you know, what do businesses need and why are tax cuts? Is it just important for the wealthy? Is it just important for the little guy like me? Why is it important for an entrepreneur? What kind of tax cuts would be most helpful for you? President Trump is talking about this right now. What would you like to see?
Well, he's pushing for, it's kind of changed now, but they started out pushing for a 15% tax cut, and that would help us tremendously. Right now, in a lot of companies, especially if you're a sole proprietor or LLC, all the taxes are passed through to the individual, and you pay about 40% of that money in taxes. So all through the year, you have to save money. You have to pay both halves of your Social Security and Medicare and your federal tax and pay all of that. You have to make sure you've saved that. If I didn't have to pay that much in taxes, I would expand, pay my people more. I could probably have a few people full time. I could maybe even offer them benefits. You know, when we pay all that money in taxes, that's just that much less I have to spend in the business.
That's really sad. And it's great to hear, because I don't think people hear that. I mean, unless you literally are wearing that on that business owner hat and you're balancing your books every day and you're like, okay, so right off the bat, I brought this much money in revenue and this many people mm-hmm. came into the drive-thru to see the movie theater, to see the movies. They paid this much money. It looks like a great amount of money. And then you start taking out, this is for this tax, this is for this tax, this is for this, regulations, all kinds of things. And then there's just a small amount left over. And then you've got to figure out how you're going to send that out. Have you ever been, have you ever gone without paying yourself to pay your employees?
I took over an established business, so I didn't have to do that. But that's what happens frequently in small businesses. They pay you'd pay everybody first. You're the last person to get paid after your expenses, your employees. So what's left over is yours, and 40% is a lot. I kind of liken it to getting a paycheck from a company, but say they don't take out any taxes, and 40% of what you've made that year is going to go out for taxes. Think about that.
40% is a lot of money. If you've got a grilled cheese sandwich and you're going to have to give your brother or your sister 40% of that, that's kind of stinky.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I want the full sandwich. I made it. It's mine. I buttered it. I grilled the cheese. It's mine. We'll be right back.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts, Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment. And since these loans are government insured, limited closing fees. Active duty military, reserves, National Guard, retired military, and surviving spouses may qualify. Give Kim Sturtz or Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance a call today at 303-888-2732. Or check them out on the AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com. Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
In America, we stand on the shoulders of giants. Benjamin Franklin and other founding fathers handed us a republic and challenged us to keep it. The challenge remains today, more than 240 years later. The AmeriChicks invite you to call in every weekday afternoon at 5 p.m. to sort through the smoke and mirrors to discuss government policies as right versus wrong rather than right versus left. Denver's only female-hosted call-in talk show on your drive home. The AmeriChicks, Kim Monson and Molly Vogt, sponsored by Yanni's in the Landmark for the best lamb chops in town. Weekday afternoons at 5 on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes, oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
It's time. October is here, and the scary features are hitting the screen. Please join the historic 88 Drive-In Theater and be sure to bring someone to hold on to for their upcoming triple features. Admission at 88 Drive-In Theater is only $8 per person, and children under 12 are free. Your admission includes all features. Stay for one or all three. New fall box office hours are 6 p.m. Friday and Saturday and 6:30 p.m. Monday through Thursday. To stay up to date on movie showings and times, go to 88drivein.net and like the 88 Drive-In on Facebook. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Welcome back to the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. But Kimmy's on vacay today, so sitting in for her is Susan Koshevar. Susan is the owner of the historic 88 Drive-In Movie Theater, which you just heard. Susan, what's playing?
Well, this is the last two nights to see the Lego Movie, Blade Runner, and It all together. So come tonight or tomorrow night to see those. And we have a new program starting on Friday. So we're bringing in American Made, the new picture with Tom Cruise. We'll have Blade Runner with that. And then the scary feature, It, at the end.
So is Blade Runner not scary?
No, it's really a sci-fi futuristic movie. You remember there was one that was released in about the 80s, and this is the follow-up, the sequel to that. It's very good. It is a long feature, but it sure doesn't feel like it.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Well, you know, we were talking about at the beginning of the show, the only sure thing in life, it seems to be the only two things are death and taxes. Today, we're talking about the latter, taxes. It's a good time to do it. President Trump is talking about taxes right now in Pennsylvania, and we have been waiting and hoping that Congress is going to come together and forget this right versus left stuff, this, you know, this political fight, and just actually come together and pass a plan that will reduce taxes for all of us hardworking Americans. So you're coming on today to share with us a story about what you were doing in D.C. and bring on a special guest. So how about you introduce that?
Sounds great. Yes, last month on tax day, I was in Washington, D.C. on the steps of the Capitol fighting for a 15% tax cut, which is part of the president's new tax plan. And Job Creators Network flew me out along with some other business owners. And we were talking about how the business taxes are just crushing us and what it would mean to us to have a tax cut. So joining us today is Elaine Parker. She's the president of Job Creators Network. And Just like to welcome her on the show.
Welcome to the show, Elaine.
Hi, Molly. Hi, Susan. Thank you so much for having me on tonight.
Well, thanks for being here. We're excited to have you. It's obviously perfect timing. Do you mind tell us a little bit about Job Creators Network and what you guys do?
Sure. Well, the Job Creators Network was founded by Bernie Marcus. He's actually the co-founder of a little company called The Home Depot. And most of us forget that at one point, some 30 years ago, there was a first Home Depot, and he was a small business owner, and he remembers the challenges of running a small business and meeting payroll and dealing with the regulations and, of course, dealing with paying his taxes. And so he started the Job Creators Network so that we could advocate and educate on behalf of small businesses. There are 29 million small businesses in this country today, and they employ about 56 million people. So when you add that together, that's 85 million people dependent on the success of small business.
Wow. Yeah. Kind of important for all of us to know that. And, you know, Elaine, I just don't know that people really understand that or get that. It seems like people think, well, these big business, they're very profitable and they're greedy and they keep all this money for themselves. And so, you know, the only way to get that money out from underneath them to actually give to people who don't have jobs or people who are hurting or people who aren't earning enough is to take it from those greedy big business owners. But they don't really understand exactly how taxes affect the business person. So do you mind kind of just breaking down a little bit about the difference in taxes for, you know, what people will pay if they're a smaller business versus a bigger business and what that looks like?
Sure. Well, most small businesses, as Susan was saying in your previous segment, are set up as pass-throughs. They're sole proprietorships, partnerships, S-corporations, and they pass through their income to their at the individual tax rates. And so they end up paying as high as 40% in taxes. And depending on what state you live in, I'm lucky enough to live in the state of Florida, so I don't have a state income tax, but a lot of states do. So depending on what state you live in, some of those small business owners who are set up as pass-throughs can pay as high as 50% in income taxes. And that's just too high. I know Susan talked about what she would do with a tax cut. She came to Washington and told her story last month with us. But the Job Creators Network did a national poll of small business owners this year. And we found that most and the majority of our small business owners would reinvest any tax cut savings into their business in the form of wage hikes, new hiring, and expansion. This is the exact kind of kickstart that this economy needs to get going and to help not only the 29 million small business owners, but the 56 million middle-class employees that they have jobs and employ. That's what this economy needs, and that's what we need to get going. You know, Susan talked about what she would do with a tax cut, but we have a lot of small business owners. We had Dina Rubio, who's the owner of a restaurant in South Florida. She currently has 18 employees. She said that she would use the tax relief from tax cuts to hire 6 to 8 more people and create an outside sitting area and expand her bar area. We have another small business owner in Northern Florida who actually makes light cookies. It's called Joseph's Light Cookies. He would also expand his business into new markets and hire an additional 9 people. Those are jobs that can be created. Those are Main Street jobs, and that's where most of the jobs are created. 70% are created by small business, and that's why we need to help them, and that's why we need to give them a tax cut, because it will really kickstart this economy.
You've done a great job explaining that, Elaine Parker, with Job Creators Network. You know, I think a lot of people, they say, well, you want to keep that, let's keep that really high tax rate on the wealthy. But I don't think that they realize that small businesses are passed through taxes. So it's paid at their personal tax rate. And I think that's important. That was an important point to make.
Yeah, I think so, too. I was listening to the president's speech today, and one other thing he talked about, which really will help small businesses, is ending the estate tax, because that really hurts small businesses, too. We've lost lots of small farms due to that, and just other small businesses. You can't, the kids can't keep it because they've got to pay all the tax on the business.
Yeah. Well, Elaine, President Trump's talking today about his tax changes. Do you mind sharing some thoughts on what he's putting forward and what you agree with, what you may not agree with, what exactly you think would be best?
Sure. Well, as I said, we're certainly advocating for small business and even middle class income tax cuts. Right now, the administration has put forward a proposal for small business pass-throughs at 25%. We were obviously originally, as Susan said, advocating for 15%. We think a 25% income tax is headed in the right, income tax cut is heading in the right direction. For most small business owners, if you ask them, would you like a 40% decrease in income taxes, I think they would all agree that would be a great relief. So to come down to 25%, we certainly think that that's a step in the right direction for this country and for small business owners. It's interesting as far as for middle class owners, according to a survey by Career Builder, it found that 4 in 5 workers are still living paycheck to paycheck. So a tax cut for middle class workers, even in the form of a raise, because their boss gets a tax cut on his pass-through income, would be fantastic. We have another survey that was conducted by the Federal Reserve that found that 2/3 of those earning $40,000 a year or less can't even cover an unexpected $400 expense. That's a car repair, easily a car repair.
Yeah.
And that's why they need a tax cut.
Right. Well, without a car, you can't get to work.
Yeah, I have a lot of those people that work for me. Well, one young guy, he has a daughter, and she lives with him, and he couldn't pay for his root canal. that was really painful, and it was really hard for him to work. So it took him a while to save that money up for that root canal.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Well, we need our money. Mm-hmm. We work hard for it. How about health care, Elaine Parker? We're talking about tax reform right now, and the president's talking about that. And unfortunately, Congress is not able to do anything on health care yet. But one of the big expenses that a lot of my friends that are small business owners said the big pain to them was the health care regulations and the taxes and everything like that, the mandates, the requirements that if they had, 50 more employees, they had to offer so much health care services. And of course, the cost was so expensive. And even one employer said that she would like to, out of her own pocket, just go ahead and pay extra towards her employees' health care for them, help them with their premiums. But that wasn't allowed under the PPACA, otherwise known as Obamacare. So she was having to even to pass on to them higher expenses. So, Elaine, what have you heard about just the health care expenses and taxes, and what are y'all advocating for there?
Sure. Well, we've been traveling the country since last fall, talking to small business owners about these issues: overtaxation, overregulation, lack of access to capital. Those are the 3 top issues that we found from our members, and with specifics to high taxes and the regulations found in Obamacare are just killing small businesses. And those are the issues that this administration and the Congress needs to tackle, because it is killing small businesses. It is actually threatening their viability, their ability to grow and expand and increase wages. And those are all things that can help this economy and help create more jobs and specifically help the middle class.
Yeah, I agree. This is Susan. That would make all of that would help a lot. I agree with all those business owners. One other thing I think that the president talked about today in his tax plan, which really helps small businesses, is the ability to write off any investments 100%, you know, instead of expensing them. And I know that would be almost like a windfall for a lot of us.
Yeah. Well, and so we are, this is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, but sitting in for Kim today is Susan Kochevar, and we are talking about taxes. And obviously, it's a big topic today, and we're trying to figure out if our Congress is going to be able to come together and do something, but at least President Trump has come up with a plan. Now, Job Creators Network, we have Elaine Parker on the line, and she is the president of the group. You guys do a lot of educating around the country as far as, you know, what is it going to take to really just take the boot off the neck of the job creator, of the entrepreneur, so that we have more jobs. I know a lot of people are hurting right now, and perhaps we could talk a little bit about regulations, Elaine. If you have any ideas of regulations that may be hurting or helping businesses and job creators as well.
Sure. I mean, you just mentioned the big one, the big elephant in the room, which is Obamacare, and that is dealing with some of the regulations within Obamacare that's hurting small businesses. But we talk to a lot of small business owners. The minimum wage issue is another regulatory issue that is hurting small business. The interesting thing about the minimum wage fight is the minimum wage advocates have taken this battle out of the federal level, and they're going down into the city and county levels, and they're able to pass ordinances locally within cities or towns and get it passed through city councils. And so we spend a lot of time educating folks on the impact of higher minimum wages. Those are entry-level jobs created for entry-level employees on the first rung of the ladder and to learn skills so that they can move up that ladder. And we've talked to a lot of folks, especially we've got a member out in Seattle that's just being killed by the minimum wage. You know, he's got 1,100 employees throughout his Burger King franchises, and it's difficult to pay $15 an hour out in Seattle.
Yeah, they're right. That's really a problem here as well. Last year, we passed in Colorado an amendment to our Constitution, so our minimum wage is going to go up 90 cents per year until I think it's 2020. That's really going to hurt us.
It sure is. We'll talk more about this when we come back from break. This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, and we're talking today about taxes and why does it matter to you? That actually matters to everybody, not just the wealthy. So stick with us.
Dude, I need help. How can I perfect my golf swing and keep my promise to put in a whole new kitchen by next month?
No worries. Call Rafe and Colin at Harmony Ridge Construction. They've been doing this for 40 years all over the globe. Trust me, they'll make you look like a genius, and you'll have more time to perfect that golf swing. You really need to work on that.
Great. I'll give Harmony Ridge Construction a call today. What's their number?
720-660-0265. Or visit them online at harmonyridgeconstruction.com. They're best for any small fix or large remodel. They'll help you out.
Guy Whidden, 101st Airborne, landed Normandy in the dark on D-Day 1944, was knocked out on the jump, woke up, a gun to his head. What happened next? If you love the AmeriChicks World War II Project on Fridays and know a World War II vet, we'd love to share their story. We're in a race against time to gather as many stories as possible and as quickly as possible to preserve them for all future generations. So if you know a World War II vet or have that great World War II story to share, email us at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. That's the AmeriChicks@gmail.com.
And now, the Lens of Liberty. Here is Helen Kriebel.
There have been many news stories about one mayor's drive to ban large soft drinks, and nearly everyone thought the effort was a classic case of government overreach. I've never bought a big gulp soda, but I cherish my right to do so. We all understand the dangers of too much sugar in our diets, but most people know government has more important things to worry about than the size of our sodas. If we look through the lens of liberty, we might realize this is really not much different than the government determining how our hamburgers must be cooked or what kind of light bulbs we must buy. In America, we believe in taking responsibility for our own actions and providing for our own happiness. Sometimes we need to remind politicians to take care of important government business and let us take care of our own business.
For more information, go to lensofliberty.org.
Oh, in this beautiful America, even here in America, the land of the free, the land of opportunity, where people risk everything to leave whatever country they may be in, living under any kind of tyrants, without freedom. They come to America, and they've always come to America, Susan, because of an opportunity, not because they were going to get handed a check, or, you know, they were going to be guaranteed a job or guaranteed free living or free health care or anything like that. People risk their lives from different places to come here because they knew that if they tried hard, if they worked hard enough, they could earn a living.
Pursue their happiness.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. There's no guarantee in life except for death and taxes. We're talking about taxes. So this is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. But sitting in for Kim today is Susan Koshevar. And we have online with us also Elaine Parker, who is the president of the Job Creators Network Foundation. So real quick, Elaine was explaining kind of the minimum wage and what happens with minimum wage requirements from the federal government. What happens to small business owners and how is that passed on to the employees? But I thought maybe before we move on, Susan could just talk a little bit about that as well. We want to explain it a little further. We have in studio with us a ninth grader from Wheat Ridge, Camden Martinez, and he is shadowing. They said, go out and figure out what do you want to do for your career and go sit in and watch some people do it. So he's sitting here and probably saying, oh, yes, I definitely enjoy doing sports radio, but not so much the business stuff. But at least he'll know now before he wastes the time and money. But help us. Let's explain to somebody like Camden, Susan, why is the government forcing an increase in minimum wage actually hurting the people that it's trying to help?
Well, I explain it in a couple ways. First of all, as an employer, wages are an expense. And so when I have to pay my employees more, say a dollar more, not only does that increase my expense by a dollar per employee, but your employment taxes are a percentage of your payroll, so you pay more in taxes also. The other thing that happens
is raising your minimum wage by a dollar isn't only raising minimum wage by a dollar.
Right. It's more than that because you have that percentage of payroll that you have to pay. The employer matches your Social Security and your Medicare, and they have to pay unemployment insurance and all of these things. So all that, that's all a percentage of payroll. Can't talk this afternoon. So that goes up. The other thing is it's easier to see, I think, from the perspective of an employee. So I have some employees that have worked for me for a while. This year, maybe they're making $15 an hour, and I've hired somebody new. Well, we should probably start a little lower. Say they've been working for a year, so they make $12 an hour. Then I hire another employee. Then I have to pay them a dollar more. So you can see the wages are getting closer and closer together, and I'm not. And I have to pay the current employee. Let me start this again.
Okay, wait.
Today's
if you have an employee and you're already paying the minimum wage, they've been with you a year, they're doing a good job, and they're already getting paid, and now somebody new comes in, they don't have a year of experience, they haven't already proven themselves, you don't know that you can depend on them like you can the person that's been there for a year, and you're going to have to pay them the exact amount as the person who's been there longer, or give the person who's there longer now a raise that you weren't planning on doing before. And where do you find that in your budget?
So if you're that employee that has just worked a year for me and you have gained all those experiences, and you have proven that you can come to work on time every day when you work your schedule, I'm paying you $10. Next year, I'll give you a raise, but the new person is going to be making the same. I can't do that. That's not going to work. You're going to want a raise, and I already have to pay that new person more. You can see it from that perspective, I think, a little easier. What happens is it winds up flattening wages overall totally.
So it knocks everybody down instead of letting everybody be boosted up by actually having value. And that's the point, too, right, is the minimum wage jobs, and Elaine made this point during the last segment, minimum wage jobs aren't for, you know, a family of four to live on forever. I mean, this is an entry-level job for somebody to get in and have some skills they can put on their resume. You know, I remember out of college, and you're like, well, who's going to give you a job? Well, show me where did you work before. Show me what skills you proved and that you went to work on time. Well, nobody would give me a job because they can't afford to pay me, and if I don't have any experience, I'm never going to get any.
So right.
It's like the chicken and the egg, and you're chasing your tail.
Right.
And it's all because the government's trying to force something,
which
the free market does better.
Yeah. One of my kids started working for me. He manages my parking lot, so he's in charge of making people park where they're supposed to. And once in a while, he'd have to run somebody else. It's almost a security job. So he went on to get a security job, and he's doing quite well now. That's what happens.
Yeah. So we're talking about taxes, but we're kind of going off a little bit about just government force on finances and really just kind of taking the boot off the neck of entrepreneurs and job creators, because it's not only taxes that hurt, It's regulations too. Mm-hmm. And it all ends up hurting the wallet. So Elaine Parker, let's talk a little bit more about Job Creators Network and what you're doing to educate people. Tell us about that.
Sure. So we have a program called the Employer to Employee Education Program. We house a website called informationstation.org. And anyone can go there and get a weekly newsletter. We create educational content for employers to share with their employees on how government policies impact job creation. And we do it in three ways. We create short animated videos, blog posts, and infographics. These are complex issues to talk about, and so we've tried to put them into very easy, light educational materials that are easily absorbed, and particularly the videos. And we send out a newsletter every week with a new piece of content, and our employer members share that content with their employees.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's a great thing, you know, because it seems anymore, I think our government has probably helped the impression that the employee and the employer are adversaries, and they're not. We're actually partners. My employees are my very best people. And by creating this stuff for employers to give to their employees, I think it helps break that down. It helps employees understand public policy and how it impacts their paycheck and that we really are a team.
Yeah.
It's a great, great program.
Yeah. Awesome. So, Elaine, what can we do to help you guys? How do we help you get your the word out? What's next for you all, and what can we do?
Well, we'd love for folks to go to our website, jobcreatorsnetwork.com, and join our organization, join the fight, help us advocate for small business owners. There's a lot of opportunities there. We need engaged small business owners like Susan. You know, she has signed some op-eds for us. She has come to Washington, spoke at an event for us. This is a fight, and we need folks like Susan who want to be engaged in this fight because small business is too big to fail. There's too many of them out there, and they have a huge impact on our economy and on our employment situation. So we need to help them succeed.
Well, you're totally right on. And Elaine Parker, when you're talking about small business, define that for us. Are you looking by number of employees or assets, or how do you define that?
Well, the SBA actually defines a small business as under 500 employees.
Okay. You know, and it's interesting. At the beginning, you said that one of the founders was also the founder of Home Depot.
Bertie Marcus,
right?
Yes.
And, you know, I'm glad that he's involved in this kind of thing, because it seems to me I've seen in the past a lot of entrepreneurs, they start small businesses and they become very successful and they fight and fight and fight against big government regulations in order to grow and do their business, like Uber did, right? Mm-hmm. Uber was fighting against the taxi unions over and over and over, finally got the chance to actually do business, got really big, but now they're kind of with the government and they want to monopolize the industry and don't want anybody else in.
Yeah, that's so typical, isn't it? Go to government to hold out your competition.
Yeah.
That's really where a lot of this problem gets started.
Okay, so real quick, tell us about your op-ed. What was the most recent one that you wrote?
So there's an op-ed in USA Today. You can find it under the heading, Coach of Our Colorado Entrepreneurs Need Tax Relief Now. And the date on that is September 30th, 2017. It's at 4 p.m., so you can find it there.
And what? Mm-hmm. Give us a highlight.
Well, I just talk about, you know, what a tax cut would mean to me and how with that tax cut, I would expand my business. I'd buy the property next door. I'd hire more employees. I could probably pay some people full time. That's what it would mean to me. And I know that's what other small businesses would do with a tax cut also.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, Elaine Parker, any final thoughts from you? And we really appreciate you joining the AmeriChicks today.
Well, we really support the tax plan that has been put forward by the administration. And we know there's a lot of different opinions on what can make it better or how far it should go. And maybe some folks think it hasn't gone far enough. But our opinion is that we shouldn't let the perfect kill the good, because a tax cut now for small businesses will help this economy, and it will help small businesses and the middle class.
Well, I agree 100%, and I think education is the key, so that's why I love what you guys are doing at the Job Creators Network and Susan's Koshevar, that you're so involved, and you're writing op-eds, and you're going to these rallies. It's all about educating the people, educating your own employees, educating our friends, doing this in the schools as well, like Camden's learning about this kind of stuff in school, and I'm sure he thinks it's wildly exciting, but I'm sure as soon as he starts his own business one day, he'll get it, and he'll know, and he'll understand. But, you know, you're totally right. I mean, the small business owners are the engine of America. And what happens is it's the innovation and ingenuity mm-hmm. that is freed up when taxes are low enough that people can actually keep the majority of the fruits of their label, they will invest that, you know, and mm-hmm. how do you come up with a product that makes you a $1 million or $1 billion? You create something that people really want or need that improves their lives. Medicine, really cool transportation, right? The cell phones. I mean, you know, look at a smartphone. You're carrying around a map, a flashlight, a computer, a typewriter, I mean, a camera, everything.
Get it?
So we want to make sure that job creators have a chance to create jobs.
In America, we stand on the shoulders of giants. Benjamin Franklin and other founding fathers handed us a republic and challenged us to keep it. The challenge remains today, more than 240 years later. The Americhicks invite you to call in every weekday afternoon at 5 p.m. to sort through the smoke and mirrors to discuss government policies as right versus wrong rather than right versus left. Denver's only female-hosted call-in talk show on your drive home. The Americhicks, Kim Monson and Molly Vogt, sponsored by Yanni's in the Landmark for the best lamb chops in town. Weekday afternoons at 5 on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing from the Americhicks, Molly and Kim, chances are your future clients do too. Let us help you promote your business and fatten up your wallet. To feature your business on the Americhicks program, email us at americhicks@gmail.com. We feature the most topical news and intriguing guests every weekday during afternoon drive time, 5 to 6 p.m., while you and your clients are enjoying the program on your way home from work. So become a sponsor today by emailing the Americhicks, Molly and Kim, at americhicks@gmail.com. That's the americhicks@gmail.com. Or visit us online at americhicks.com.
Today you need to have a great online and social media presence, and the best in the biz is Desi On Demand. The Americhicks, Molly and Kim personally work with Brandon, the founder of Desi On Demand. Desi On Demand is instrumental with our video projects, Chick Chat, Eggs, Exceptional Endeavors, and our World War II project. We most heartily endorse his creativity, innovation, dedication, and integrity. Brandon and his team bring all that to the table. Check out Desi On Demand's website at mydesi.com or call 303-359-1522 for more info, and be sure to tell them the Americhicks sent you.
In a world of uncertainty, anything can happen. It pays to protect yourself, your family, your business, your home, and your car. And it pays to work with the proven professionals at Alliance Insurance Services. Jeremy McCallum and his Alliance Insurance Services team work with a variety of insurance companies competing for your business. Jeremy and the Alliance Insurance Services team helps you find the right insurance at the right price. They know you'll sleep better at night knowing Alliance Insurance Services is handling all of your insurance needs. Give them a call today at 303-431-9351. That's 303-431-9351. And be sure to tell them the Americhicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back to the Americhicks, Molly and Kim on Denver's Money Talk Radio. We are the only business talk in town, and we care a lot about really just that everyday hardworking American to be able to do what they want to do with their money. And you know what? It takes a lot of hard work and risk and money and sweat and tears to start a new business. And real quick, I'm going to give a plug for my buddy, Evan, Your IT Guy. Evan, Your IT Guy is a group. They just set up this new network, and it went live just last week. And it's on your... Well, it helps you with your computer, but you can call them 24/7. Basically, it is a network of IT professionals ready to provide on-demand help with whatever needs you have. Hardware, software, you know, your memory's going, you got that little spinny thing going on your computer and you can't figure out how to get it off, which basically is Kim Munson's problem every day of her life. And instead of going over to your neighbor and bugging them like Kim Munson does of the Americhicks, now you can actually call Evan, Your IT Guy, anytime, and they can help you walk you through it. And the great thing is they're specializing in small businesses. So they're really helping small businesses get started. As you know, small businesses don't normally have a whole heck of a lot of extra money.
Nope.
And so to hire your own IT team. So check out Evan, Your IT Guy, and they'll help you. And if you know a veteran with IT skills looking for a job, they're hiring vets. So we love that too.
Sounds great.
EvanYourITGuy.com. So real quick, Susan Kochevar is in studio with us, and she's sitting in for Kim Munson. And we've been talking a lot about taxes, but also we wanted to bring on Sue Moore. She is working on a new project with the Republican Liberty Caucus. And it sounds kind of interesting to us. Kim and I, we look at issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. And it doesn't really seem like just because you have an R or a D behind your name anymore that you actually get it and you're working for the right policies, the right issues, and like you really understand how your policies are going to affect people. Sue Moore has a solution. We love solutions. Sue, tell us about it.
Well, thanks, Molly. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, you pretty much hit the nail on the head. I am the immediate past chairman of the Denver Republican Party, and I've worked within the party for years and years. I started out as a lowly precinct committee person, worked my way up to a district captain, and then finally was elected as the county chairman of Denver County. And I worked that through the last election cycle. And, you know, I love my party. I am a Republican. I've been a Republican all my life. And, you know, I believe in their principles. However, at some point that doesn't become, it's just not enough for a lot of us. Just because someone puts an R after their name and runs for office and gets elected, you know, sometimes they get into office and the swamp starts to feel like a hot tub and they start working more toward being reelected instead of, you know, doing what we sent them to office to do. So, I've been involved off and on over the years with the Republican Liberty Caucus, and really what we are is, well, they call us the conscience of the Republican Party. So we're more about constitutional conservatism and again, making sure people do the jobs that we've elected them to do and holding them accountable to that.
Well, I love that idea, holding people accountable, because you know what? It doesn't really matter, you know, R or D. If you are elected, you know, you have to get a vote of the people to get elected. And so you tell people one thing versus another. And if enough people think your ideas are going to help me and my family, then I'm going to vote for you. That's what they do. And then once you get there and you change your mind, then we've got to get rid of you. So how do people find out more about the Republican Liberty Caucus?
Well, I'll be honest with you. We just got rechartered here in Colorado. The Republican Liberty Caucus is a national organization. They were founded in 1991. And they're the oldest continuously operating organization within the Republican Liberty movement. So, you know, and what that means is we lean more toward personal liberty, constitutional conservatism, and free markets. So we're a little more, we don't really get into social issues. We're strictly fiscal conservatives and constitutional conservatives. But so anyway, it's a national organization. There are state charters all over the country. Colorado had a very strong charter back in the 2012-2014 election cycles, and then we kind of became dormant for a while. People got burned out or were becoming a little disenchanted with the party and, you know, weren't sure that we were making the right inroads. But anyway, through a lot of feedback from a lot of people and, you know, in liberty circles, I realized that there's a big void there. So once I stepped down as chairman of the Denver Republican Party, I made it my mission to get us rechartered in Colorado. And so we're just really getting up and going again. A lot of the old folks from the liberty circles are back involved again, and they've got really great principles and really good ideas on how to get things going in Colorado again. So, We will have probably not monthly meetings, but perhaps quarterly happy hours for people to drop in. And, you know, we'll have really good speakers. And so if you want to learn about what being more liberty-oriented means, we'll do some of that education-type stuff. But then as it gets closer to the election and we have candidates running for office, we already have some declared, but others will come out, we'll actually start interviewing those candidates. And a lot of them will want our endorsement as the Republican Liberty Caucus, because they know that actually stands for something. Once you have the Liberty Caucus behind you, people know that you're a principled constitutional conservative Republican, and that carries a lot of weight with a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I just don't fit in a box anymore. I don't fit in a political box anymore. I feel like I'm outside of that, and I don't think that the people that I've elected fit in the box that I elected them to be in either. So I'm glad that you're doing something. So thanks so much, Sue Moore, for what you're doing. For more information, it's RLCCO. Is that correct?
Right. For now, just go to the RLC.org.
Okay.
website, but in the near future, we'll have our website up, and that'll be rlcco.org.
Okay. Well, when you get that up, let us know, and we'll tell everybody. For now, everybody go to rlc.org. It's the Republican Liberty Caucus, and that way we're going to get some people elected that actually believe in liberty and limited government and free markets, and that's what we're talking about today with tax reform. So thanks, Sue Moore. We appreciate it. Have a good day.
Thanks, Molly.
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear about that. That's such an important thing. And when people stick to principle, then you know how they will vote.
Yes.
So
yes.
If they say they believe in free markets and limited government, that's what we mean. Not well, government my way.
Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about the ballots are dropping right now. The ballots are dropping here in Colorado. And
yep.
So everybody's going to have the opportunity to vote. We, the people, finally get the chance to vote. And so I think it's important that we know what's on the ballot. And so one thing I wanted to bring up, and then let's talk about it, and let's have our ninth grader Camden kind of make the point for us that the free market is better for the people to lower our prices and bring us more options than the government. So we've got Ordinance 300 coming out, and it's basically raising your rent for gardens on rooftops. So I guess this idea is that they are going to mandate, they're looking to mandate builders of high density housing to make sure, or high density buildings, any kind, you know, apartments, mm-hmm. condos, what have you, to make sure that if they have more than 25,000 square feet of the building, that on the roof, they've got to have either rooftop gardens or solar panels to help reduce the heat island effect.
Wow. One of the first thing that crosses my mind is, what about the structural integrity of those buildings? And who gets to eat the vegetables? And this is just Denver, I think, isn't it?
This is just Denver.
Just Denver.
Right. And then a question actually that Eliza brought up during the break, she said, who's going to pay for it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing. Because if you mandate something, then it's going to make it more expensive. And somebody's going to have to pay for that, right? Solar panels are expensive. We had Jan Coleman on from Noble Energy last week. And she said at least every week, if not every couple of days or something, you have to get up and clean those solar panels. So somebody's got to be cleaning those all the time, or they're not effective. And what about in Colorado during the snow season? It's snow season, baby. Mm-hmm. Who's going to be up there risking their lives doing that? And then also the gardens. Colorado is so dry. You know that plants actually have to be watered, right?
Yeah, they'll have to get through the water, and they'll have to raise the rents.
Right. And so now that these builders have to add this additional solar panel or garden on, that's going to be mm-hmm. more cost for the builder. Who do you think is going to pay that?
Yeah, well, the people who are renting the apartments.
Right. And mm-hmm. why are people renting rather than buying? What kind of people rent rather than buy?
Well, typically people that have bad credit or people who are trying to save to buy their own property.
Yeah, or younger people are just trying,
mm-hmm.
yeah, exactly, and trying to establish their credit and get things going. People that, you know, don't have enough money right off the bat to go buy something, so they're renting.
Mm-hmm.
So we already have a homeless problem in
yes.
Colorado. I don't know that we need to be increasing the price of rentals. And that's what government mandates do. So real quick, we only got a couple minutes. Camden, we were talking about the free market and coming up with an idea that other people would find value enough that they want to use it. And you were talking about an application on your phone that kind of helps to explain businesses. Tell us about the app you're talking about.
So it's called Egg Inc. And you basically start off as a small farm, so a small business, and you have to build your industry as a chicken farmer and sell the eggs to get enough money to upgrade your, like, shipping containers, their hatcheries, and, like, your hen houses to be able to get to a top chicken farmer.
Awesome. And how have you been doing on it?
I'm at, like, $1 trillion, I think, right now.
What?
So it takes a little bit to actually get that far, so...
That's awesome. And so you're basically, but it's teaching you. I mean, you've got to save up a certain amount. You give a certain amount to trade to get the eggs. I mean, you're learning small business mm-hmm. skills.
Yeah.
On an application. You're $1 trillion.
Do you have to pay taxes in the program?
You might have to. I mean, mm-hmm. you have to, like, upgrade things to, like, get comfortable nests, and you have to pay things to, like, get further up in the game. So you have to, I guess, kind of pay taxes to upgrade your stuff.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love it. And this is an application on the phone. Now, is this a free application on your phone, or did you have to pay for this?
Yeah, it's free.
Okay, that's good. Are there a lot of advertisements on that application?
No, there's not much. I mean, you can watch them to get more money or more eggs to sell.
Mm-hmm. Do you know why they might have those advertisements on there?
To advertise apps that they have also made, because they... company can make more games than one, so they have to advertise those on other games too.
Mm-hmm. And the people that are advertising on those application on those apps actually are making money. So they're paying money to the person who owns the app, so that they get the opportunity to get in front of this market that they wouldn't otherwise be in front of, to get in front of you. So they're paying money to the person who created that app. So the person who created this app, the Egg Inc., that you're already $1 trillion up on, they came up with this great innovation, creative mm-hmm. idea to make money, and they're not charging you anything, but they're making money because it's such a great idea. People are willing to watch, and other people are willing to pay them money to advertise on their app to reach you. It's a money-making business. It's innovation. It's entrepreneurship. I love it, Camden. Thanks for sharing.
No problem.
Hey, good luck with all that you do. This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, but today Susan's in for Kim. Any last thoughts, Susan, that you want to leave with us?
Just go to Job Creators Network and sign up and help push for that tax cut. That would really help small businesses.
Yep. So, you know, the point is that we look at issues and how our policy is going to affect the people. And, you know, with the government is meeting right now and they're going back and forth playing party politics on our health care, on our taxes and what have you. You know what? Drop it. It's not about the party. And it's not about you backing a man or a woman that you don't believe in. It's about the people. Do what you said you're going to do. Pass tax reform. Lower taxes for everybody. Get your boot off of business owners next.
Yep.
And let us all just get to work pursuing our happiness. This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim on KDMT. We'll see you tomorrow at 5 p.m.